in the race. He knew a shortcut. How many of y'all know that's Becky? Huh? Okay. It's tough for me because Becky was not just, I wasn't just her pastor. We were really close friends. And we had things planned to do when the weather got warm. And the weather got warm and she left us. But Becky still knew how to fish. She caught every one of you and got you here. She put the net out. And we're here tonight. And we're here not to be sad. I've gone through all those emotions, you know, through the mind. But I'm not sad in my heart for Becky. 2 days before she passed, just a little history. 2 days before she passed, I took that picture. I went in the room and she said, "Look at my hat." And I saw it after I looked around the room. And I said, "You got to put it on, Becky." And she put it on and I took the shot. And I love that. That is so Becky. It is. And I want to say I appreciate Susie for putting the pictures together and Scott for putting it in video form. Both of them did a good job and we appreciate it. Okay, I'm going to share this with you. I don't know how it'll come out, but I got to do it. You know, when it's Becky, you got to do what you got to do. And I'm going to share this. Y'all ready for this? Yeah. Got my fishing pole. Well, everybody knows I like to go fishing. When I go, I'm a man on a mission. No rod, no reel, no pole. When I go fishing, I'm a fishing for souls. Going fishing. I'm going fishing. Going fishing, y'all. Here I go. Ain't nothing like the feeling of reeling one in. When I go fishing, I'm a fishing for men. Going fishing. I'm going fishing. Here I go. When I go fishing, I usually go at night. I can tell you if they're gonna bite, young or old, big or small. When I go fishing, I'm a fishing for them all. Going fishing, I'm going fishing. Going fishing, y'all. Here I go. Reeling one in here, yeah. When I go fishing, I'm a fishing for men and women and little children. Here I go. Well, somebody asked me, "How many have you caught?" I said, "You know, I've never given it any thought. I tell you the truth, I ain't never started counting. But I've caught some I'd love to have mounted. Going fishing. I'm going fishing. Let's go now. We going fishing? Here we go. I'm going fishing. Come on, let's go fishing. I'm going fishing for Becky.
Becky started it. We got to keep it going. I'll never forget the first time she came in after I preached this message that I will share with you the scripture in a minute. She came in and she said, I went fishing. And her neighbors, Richard and Patty, have been here ever since. And every time I'd see her, she said, I'm going fishing. I could not have. I've been nervous all day long. I've listened to my little old Bose thing there with that CD in it over and over and over and over. And I'd try it and I'd say, oh gosh, that's wrong. Then I finally decided whatever it ends up, it'll end up. And you got the words, didn't you? And that's good stuff. Well, I have a bunch of people that's going to say something, but I'm going to read. So many people love Becky. So many people had they just didn't know her. They felt with her. They loved with her. They were part of each other. And nobody knew Becky probably better than, I'm not saying who did. I'm saying everybody loved her the same and everybody knew her the same. Sometimes I say things that gets me in trouble. This is from Helen Anderson. I said, Helen, you get up and read it, honey. No, I can't. I'm going to tell you how Helen felt about Becky. Becky and I were very good friends in that we shared our love for Christ. On several occasions when I would talk with Becky, she was in so much pain, we only spoke for a few short minutes and told each other we loved each other and we were praying for each other. On three occasions, Becky was feeling stronger. She told me she felt God had put her there to tell others of Jesus. We talked about that. She said, I feel like I'm here for a reason. And she was. She asked one young lady the night before and said her face lit up. And she said, oh yes, I know him. On another occasion, Becky spoke with a lady who was being tormented by Satan and demons. And Becky said, I told her what to pray. And when that happened, the lady was happy and told her she knew how to get Satan off her back. Another day, she told me of another young lady that had come into her room late at night. And she said, she asked her, do you know the Lord? And the young girl just looked at me and stared and finally turned and left the room and never came back. This disturbed Becky so much. I told her, Becky, you went fishing. Thank you, Helen. You went fishing and you threw out the line. And we're going to believe that she will give her heart to Jesus before it's too late. So I ask you all here tonight, let's keep this young lady in mind. God knows who and where she is. Let's pray that she will accept the Lord and meet Becky in heaven one day. Let's keep fishing for Becky. You see, Helen didn't know what theme I would have tonight. She didn't know the scripture I was going to share, but all of us know Becky. She always said, I'm going fishing for souls. Before the others come up, the others are going to come up and say what they want to say. I'm going to take a deep breath. And then I'm going to ask everyone to just bow your heads. And I'm going to ask Tom, if he will, to pray for this service and everyone who's here tonight. Tom, would you do that?
Father, it's so good to be here tonight. I know that there's hearts in here that are sad and in trouble. Mine, but she got there. But that's not because of Becky. That won't be because of us. That'll be because of the great vision, the Lord Jesus Christ. He too left heaven. He too left glory. And came as a suffering servant. Humbled himself even to the death of the cross. So that we, like Becky, could go home to be with him and not suffer hell. Lord, it's a troubling time. But Becky's not troubled. As John said last night in the devotion, you just stood up over her and said, peace, be still. Her storm calmed down. Her winds ceased to blow. And you took her by the hand and led her home. Praise your holy name.
Yes, Lord.
You're greatly to be praised. And I thank you that you've comforted John. I thank you that you've held John. And I thank you that you've given John confidence that it's not over. We'll see her again. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I was told we only had 3 minutes because there were several people that wanted to speak. So when I wrote this out today, I timed it, and it's 2 minutes and 59 seconds or something along through there.
Okay. That was for Becky.
Becky Brown Augustus. Becky and I met in about 1956 or 57 at Annie Wilder Stratton School, which is now the Donna Hope down the street on Oakland. Fairmont Elementary School opened around 1959 or 58, and Becky was fortunate enough to attend this new school. So we fast forward here to North Junior High School. Now the only memory I have of her during this time is when she came to a mutual friend's house to work on a science project, and I just happened to be there that day. So I got to see that beautiful friend then. Okay, I don't remember seeing her much at Science Hill High School. I'm sure I did because she was only 1 year ahead of me, so we had at least 2 years there together. But now we're going to fast forward to 2009, when I was attending Snow Memorial Baptist Church. The day I joined, members came up to welcome me, and there was this beautiful lady with a beautiful smile, said hello, and we looked at each other. It's like, don't we know each other? And I didn't recognize her or John because it'd been a few years. And so we said our names to each other, and thus began a close, beautiful friendship I'll never forget. We shared secrets. We went to exercise together. But the best part of that is, like Baptists, afterwards we go eat breakfast. We talked almost daily during this time. She always had a smile on her face. I don't ever remember talking to her when she was down or out. She was always uplifting, just a beautiful woman. One time when Mom was ill, she loved Mom and Mom loved her. She sent Mom a hydrangea, she and John did. It's still living and it's still blooming, and every spring when we see it bloom, we think of them. I had surgery one time, and she gave me a book. And it's real funny because I started rereading that book about 2 weeks ago. And every time I pick it up, I think of her. On December the 8th, 2015, Becky, her daughter Jan, and I went to Big Stone Gap, Virginia. Yep, the big city where the movie by the same name was filmed. Would you believe we took pictures? But I did not get any pictures of all of us or any of us in the picture. I just got pictures of the town because it was all decorated very pretty for Christmas. How could I have mistaken those pictures with somebody in it? I don't know, but I still have that memory and I'll never forget it. Now, all that's been said to tell you that my friend Becky Brown Augustus was a wonderful Christian, wonderful wife, and mother. And if you didn't know my friend Becky, you missed a jewel. To know her was to love her. Love you all.
I don't have any notes, okay? I met Becky, I'll tell you a story behind it. She was a hospice nurse, and I was a hospice volunteer. And this whole week, I have thought, when was that? Because it's been a long time ago. I started to sing that song, long, long time ago. So I called the hospice people, and they didn't have any record of us. But this, at 2 o'clock this morning, if y'all don't believe that God works, let me tell you, I prayed, God, please let me remember when it was, so at least somewhere. And I remembered. My mom passed away in 1993, and hospice came in and took care of her. And because they were so good to her and treated her so well, I talked to the hospice nurse when she was in, and she said, oh, you could be a hospice volunteer. So when I came, after my mom passed and all that was over with, I went and signed up to be a hospice volunteer. And that is where I met Becky. We had the people that go to this church probably already know that we had a little name we called each other. She was one and I was two. But to give you a background before I tell you what it is, we had a Christmas party for the volunteers and the nurses, our coordinator did. And we met, and they asked me if I would sing. How they knew I sang, I mean, you know, that's pretty bad if you don't know if somebody can sing or not. And I don't know that I can, but I like to, so we'll just do it that way. So I chose a song, and I sang that song, and Becky fell in love with that song. I loved that song, too, because it was just different. It wasn't, you know, joy to the world. It was different. And Mark Lowry wrote that song. And he sings it, too. And if you don't know what it is, it's Mary, Did You Know? And so later, you know, she would always say on Christmas, are you singing Mary, Did You Know? Are you singing Mary, Did You Know? I love that song, but I'm sure that some people, most people besides she and I, don't want to hear it every Christmas. But I sang it one time in the middle of the year. I said, you can sing a Christmas song anytime you want to. And she wasn't here then. I think she was sick. And I said, Mary, did you know? This is for you. And we would write each other notes and things and texts. And she's Mary, did you know, number one. And I'm Mary, did you know, number two. She was the sweetest woman I have ever met. The most loving woman I have ever met. And so encouraging. And we were able to spend time in someone's worst time in their life when they're in hospice. And we got to work together to make someone's life and the family a little bit better. So Mary, did you know? I'm coming. So I love her. And John, I love you and your cousins too. All right. Thanks.
I don't have any notes either. I'm just speaking from my heart. And I said I wasn't going to cry. And I'm trying not to. But when they told me Sunday morning she passed, I couldn't believe it. But Becky and I grew up in the same church together as kids. We were just little kids when we grew up and teenagers. And after we got grown and we went to a little church called Snow Chapel at the time. And then later on in years, they changed it to Snow Memorial. But Becky, she was the same as a kid as she was as an adult. Always had that smile, just a precious soul. But after we all got grown and married and went our separate ways, we lost touch. And then I started back to Snow, and her and John came. Our closeness grew back together again. And then after Snow split, several of us would go to different churches, and we would all get together, a bunch of us ladies, and we would go out and eat once a month, and we called ourselves the Misfits. And most of the time, we did. And most of the time, we would go to Olive Garden because Becky had a favorite waiter out there, and his name was Brian. And we always asked for him, and he took really good care of us. And then Becky, she always had fun at our ladies' Christmas parties when we started coming here. And one year, she had gotten a gift, and I don't know who got it, but it was a bird in a cage. And she said, "Brenda, you need this," because it was a game where you could steal from people. And I said, "Becky, I don't need a bird in a cage." And she said, "Yeah, you do. Don't you want to take this home?" And I said, "No." So, but anyway, you know, we joked around stuff like that. But Becky was a sweetheart. And like Connie said, you know, she was a jewel and just one of a kind. And I had tried to send Becky cards, and I had sent her one a couple of weeks ago, and she sent me this text on, I think it was on April the 20th, it's on Thursday. "Thank you for the beautiful card and the peace and comfort that it brought from a dear friend. So I miss her, but I know where she's at, and I'm going to see her again soon. I love you, Becky."
I realize when I get up, everybody gets nervous. On Sunday morning, I can't seem to shut up.
Amen.
But on things like this, I can't seem to speak up. I loved Becky. And a couple of things come to my mind. I've been her Sunday school teacher for a lot of years. And she and John always sat right over here. And I have this thing about my Sunday school class. I'll ask them, you know, "How would you think I got this?" And they'd always say, "In the Bible." And I'd always say, "Okay, where?" Well, I did that to her a couple of times, and finally she got wise. She said, "It's everywhere." I never will forget that. You know, she had a love for the Word. You could see when I was teaching, she was hungry for the Word. And I think that hunger for the Word is what caused her compassion for people that she wanted to fish for. Les and I visited her the last time I saw her. We visited her in the hospital. And as soon as we went in, she said, "You know why the Lord sent me over here?" I said, "No." She said, "I've been fishing." And she told me about a couple of those people that Helen mentioned. You know, I'm going to miss Becky. But I won't miss Becky sitting there with oxygen. I'm going to miss Becky. But when we had the cottage prayer meeting, I won't miss her, can't get out of the bed. She's just fine. The only thing I regret about Becky is she beat me. And I mean that, that's not in a flippant way. I'm just longing for home, folks. And she's home. I love you, John.
I'm real cautious about doing this, but is there anybody else wants to say something? If you would, you got 2 minutes, no more than 2 minutes and 58 seconds. Becky loved to laugh, didn't she? She loved to laugh. There was six of us, if you want to know a little bit about her humor. Not about the computer logging or the tree logging onto the computer. But we had a little meal up at her house one day, and there were six of us there having a meal. And she just out of the blue said, "This is a six pack." Hey, love that woman. I didn't know where to go with this except to talk about fishing, and I'm going to do that. And if you know the Lord, you'll know exactly how important fishing is, because we have a command from the Lord to go fishing. We do. And after I preached that message on going fishing, she never quit saying it, and I never quit like hearing it. I just, every time she'd say it, it just made me well up inside, because I knew what she was talking about, and she knew what she was talking about. So I'm going to go to Luke chapter 5, and I'm going to read to you verse 1 through 11, and you'll be familiar with the story. I'm sure you will. "And it came to pass," and I love those words, and I'm going to try not to do my pastoral work here tonight, because when I'm pastoring, I come across things like that, and as soon as I read it, somebody's going to say, "He's going to stop and say something right now," I know. And I do, because some of these things are so important that we need to really latch on to them. And one is, "And it came to pass." And I always tell them, you know, the Lord, if the Lord said it, it's going to happen. It will come to pass. You can rest assured. "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little bit from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught.' And Simon answering said unto him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net.' And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake." That's success. "And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them." I've heard two or three people already say, let's help what Becky was doing. Let's jump in and help. And that's what Becky always wanted, was more of us to get involved in fishing, that they should come and help them. "And they came and filled both the ships, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" It's amazing when we see the power and the Spirit of God, how we look so different. We get a different view of ourselves when we do that. When we see holiness and righteousness, we see how awful we are as mankind.
For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, what do you suppose they did? They forsook all and followed him. Now I want to go back there to a few verses and just bring out a thought on each one of them. When you hear the phrase Gennesaret, and I looked at it, by the way, if you're wondering if I'm saying it right, I am. Some things I say, I make up as I go. Because I really don't know, but this one I looked up. Have y'all ever done that? Some of those Old Testament names? They would be ashamed if they knew what you called them. You're doing what Becky would be doing right now. I can just see her right back there. Okay. We're going to go from here now. Now that we've had a good laugh, we'll have another one before it's over with, I'm sure. And Becky would go for that, I'm sure. I just want you to know that Becky understood that we go fishing, but God controls the fish. If you learn that when you realize we're going fishing for men, it'll make it so easy. You don't feel like you're the one who's doing the job. You're not. You're just doing what he asked you to do, and that was take the gospel, the saving gospel, to a lost people and tell them about Jesus. That's all. And he does the rest. He controls the whole thing. So Gennesaret, that's the right one. Now, do you know another word for Gennesaret? You might not have known this. You're getting a little bit of what Pastor Dan does. It's the Sea of Galilee, same body of water. It's a large body of water in northern Israel. But there's something bigger about it than that. They didn't think of it like this, I'm sure, but they were fishing on a lake that God had created. Now, I said that because I want you to know that when you go out fishing, you're fishing in his territory. You're on his lake. You're on his piece of land. And I promise you, there'll never be a no trespassing sign out there. Don't be afraid. There are no trespassing signs out there. There's not. Go for it, because he's there with you all the way. So I thought I would go back and just go over a couple verses and give you a thought on these so that you have more of an understanding of where Becky was when she said she was going fishing. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. They were doing what they were doing. That's what they did. They were fishermen. So they were cleaning their nets, getting ready for another day, possibly tomorrow, when they could go out and maybe be successful in catching something. But verse 3 is where I started to giving you a few notes. And he entered into one of the ships. Now, I never saw this particular line like I saw it this afternoon sitting there at my desk when it says, and he entered into one of the ships. What he did was he was using what they had. God will use what you have. If it's your ship and he gets on it, he's using it. And it's yours, and he knows that. So he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed to him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down. When I saw he sat down, I thought, well, yeah, he's going to stay a while. You know, when you sit down, you're relaxing everybody. You know, if you go in someone's home, they'll say, have a seat, brother or sister, and let's have a cup of coffee and relax here a minute. They won't let you stand there until you leave. I hope not. If you're going to do that, let me know, because I can't stand very long. My left hip kills me.
But I'd like to sit down. Well, he got on that ship and he sat down because he was going to spend a little time telling something. And he taught the people out of the ship. Now, we know what he taught them, but just want you to know that he was using what they had to tell the people on the shore what he wanted to tell them. So in verse 4, we find this. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for the drop. In other words, I've got some instructions for you. Sometimes I think we go in the name of the Lord and we never get his instructions. It would be good if we talked with the one who knows where we're going already. He knows who we're going to talk to already. He knows what their mindset is already. He knows where their heart is already. Who else to give us instructions than the one who knows it all? I like that, don't you? And so he gave them instructions, told them exactly what to do. That wasn't in their frame. That wasn't what they were thinking at all, because in the very next verse it says, and Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night. In other words, we've been fishing for years and we haven't been very successful. People tell us everything. Some don't want to hear us and some will say, yeah, I agree with you. I used to be a Christian years ago and I used to do this, and I know I've heard it all, but that's not what's going on here. They were saying about the same thing when they said, we've toiled all night long and we've taken nothing. Now you're going to tell us what to do and we're going to do something, right? That's right. Nevertheless, I love it when a Christian does this. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. We need to give in sometimes. Submit to what he has for us to do and say, that's what I want to do. And I want to do it to the best of my ability and to give you glory and praise, Lord. And so they did. And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. That's what happens when we listen. They enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their nets break. That's a load. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he couldn't do anything but worship him. So he fell down and did exactly that. He didn't see fish then. He didn't see his net then. He didn't see the ship then. He didn't see the things of his work, his daily business. That wasn't what he was looking at. What he saw was the power of God. What he saw was someone who could do what he couldn't do. That's what he saw. He saw the one that he had loved for a long time, the one that he was so almost obnoxious about when he'd say, oh, not me now, you know me. Not me, Lord. I promise you it won't be me. Come on, Peter. I know you better than you know yourself. But he wasn't in a bragging mode there. He wasn't standing tall on his own. He went to his knees and he said, I'm a sinful man, Lord. You need to back off of me here. I'm a sinful man. But what he didn't understand at that point was when you are claiming yourself sinful, he's getting closer. He wants to change you from where you are to what he wants you to be. For he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And then I got to this point where little Becky's eyes glimmered that day. I'll never forget it. She smiled. And Margie, I keep looking back at you. I don't know why, but I do, honey. Becky's okay. She always talked about Margie. She always wanted Margie, when we were going somewhere, wonder if Margie go, you know. They were buds. Buds. But when he said, fear not, for henceforth thou shalt catch men. Then he knew what he was going to do. They were going to catch men. And they did. As I said a few minutes ago, they forsook all. That word all is the same word it is today. All means all. You know, sometimes we want to act like we're giving our all for the Lord. I wonder what the percentage would really be. And it's not like we're tipping and we have a tip card in front of us. If you give 10%, it'll be this. If you give 15%, it'll be this. If you give 20%, it'll be this. Not that at all. We don't do that. They gave all. No need to count. Just give up and give it all. When you go to work for him. When you go to visit for him. When you go to win somebody to the Lord, go for him. That's what these men did. They forsook all, then they followed him. He'll always be in front, by the way. He'll never be behind. He can't be. We have to follow him. And wherever he leads us, we're going to go. I asked Amy if she would to sing a song tonight, and I want her to do that right now.
Eternity. That's when faith begins. When you turned away from all your sin and you trust in the Lord to cleanse you again. That's when another day, yet still somehow you kneel down and pray. That's when faith steps in. When all seems lost, there's no hope in sight, but still you sing on through the night. That's when faith steps in. Faith brings joy and peace in the midst of the storm. It sends out a lifeline when you're tossed and worn. Goodbye to your dearest friend, and through tear-filled eyes you say, I'll see them again. That's when faith steps in. When you take your last breath in this world down here, and you close your eyes without any fear, that's when faith steps in. Faith will carry you
that heavenly scene and you realize it's not Becky's dream anymore.
That's when
on him face to face, and you rest in his sweet embrace.
That's when faith will end.
That's when
I feel a little bit closer to Becky tonight than I have, because forever she's talked about her old home place and her name, her maiden name, Brown. And I know the place well. I've lived in the Town Acres area for 55, 60 years, somewhere in there. My kids went to Town Acres. And I've heard about the Browns. Now I have them. Somebody locked the door. If there's anybody here tonight that does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you would like to talk with me at any time, I'll be glad to. My name is easy to get because it's on everything. You know, when cell phones first came out, you chose who you wanted to give your number to. You didn't give it to too many people because you couldn't afford to. People just call you all the time. Now you can talk anytime. Call me. It's on any of those brochures out in the vestibule there. I'll be glad to come and talk with you about your salvation, because if you're not saved, you want to see Becky again. That's right. When Becky left, her body stayed. Who we knew as Becky was, we recognized her by her body. You know the reason Becky wanted to get well? It wasn't so that she would feel better. She wanted to come to church. She wanted so badly to get back to church where she could be with her brothers and sisters in Christ. And this was her church family. To the hilt. Well, I would love to see something happen that's never happened. I would like to see every one of you come back Sunday morning. If you would, we'd have another service, but that's Mother's Day, and I don't know where you'll be, but that's okay. I thank you for coming. And this has been good for us to see how many people just in this tonight. And there was many who wanted to be here, but they couldn't be here. But Becky was so loved. She was. And by the way, she still is. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to ask Tony Tipton, if he will, to dismiss us in prayer. Tony, would you do that?
Thank you.
Amen. John, I'd like to tell you these are yours, and they're from your family, from your peerless days, if you know what I mean. But you, if you want to get them home, we'll get them in your car, or you, whatever you want to do. If you leave them for Sunday morning, you could do that too. They're well watered, by the way, except that little bit I spilt when I brought them in. Have to confess it, right? God bless y'all. Come back anytime that you will, okay? Everyone's at liberty to go.